Let us be honest with each other, Ignatius. I do not believe a word of what I read, but I am frightened for you. The fantasy about the arrest has all the classic paranoid qualities. You are aware, of course, that Freud linked paranoia with homosexual tendencies.
Filth!
Ignatius shouted. However, we won't go into that aspect of the fantasy because I know how dedicated you are in your opposition to sex of any sort. Still, your emotional problem is very apparent. Since you flunked that interview for the teaching job in Baton Rouge, meanwhile blaming it on the bus and things, a transferal of guilt, you have probably suffered feelings of failure. This automobile accident is a new crutch to help you make excuses for your meaningless, impotent existence. Ignatius, you must identify with something. As I've told you time and again, you must commit yourself to the crucial problems of the times.
Ho-hum, Ignatius yawned.
Subconsciously, you feel that you must attempt to explain away your failure as an intellectual and soldier of ideas to actively participate in critical social movements. Also, a satisfying sexual encounter would purify your mind and body. You need the therapy of sex desperately. I'm afraid, from what I know about clinical cases like yours, that you may end up a psychosomatic invalid like Elizabeth B. Browning.
How unspeakably offensive, Ignatius spluttered.
I don't feel much sympathy for you. You have closed your mind to both love and society. At the moment, my every waking hour is spent in helping some dedicated friends raise money for a bold and shattering movie that they are planning to film about an interracial marriage. Although it will be a low-budget number, the script itself is chock-full of disturbing truths and has the most fascinating tonalities and ironies. It was written by Shmuel, a boy I've known since Taft High days. Shmuel will also play the husband in the movie. We have found a girl from the streets of Harlem to play the wife. She is such a real, vital person that I have made her my very closest friend. I discuss her racial problems with her constantly, drawing her out even when she doesn't feel like discussing them, and I can tell how fervently she appreciates these dialogues with me. There is a sick reactionary villain in the script, an Irish landlord who refuses to rent to the couple, who by this time have been married in this subdued ethical culture ceremony. The landlord lives in this little womb room whose walls are covered with pictures of the Pope and stuff like that. In other words, the audience will have no trouble reading him as soon as they get one glimpse at that room. We have not cast the landlord yet. You, of course, would be fantastic for the part. You see, Ignatius, if you would just decide to cut the umbilical cord that binds you to that stagnant city, that mother of yours, and that bed, you could be up here having opportunities like this. Are you interested in the part? We can't pay much, but you can stay with me. I may play a little mood music or protest music on my guitar for the soundtrack. I hope that we can finally get this magnificent project on film soon, because Leola, the unbelievable girl from Harlem, is beginning to bug us about salary. Already I've bled about $1,000 from my father, who is suspicious, as usual, of the whole enterprise. Ignatius, I've humored you long enough in our correspondence. Don't write to me again until you've taken part. I hate cowards. M. Minkoff. P.S. Also write if you'd like to play the landlord.
I'll show this offensive trollop,
Ignatius mumbled, throwing the art theater schedule into the fire beneath the stew.